Welcome back to the Durst Show. Big news day since we last spoke, especially for Supreme Court watchers, of which I am one. I have been reading Supreme Court decisions and watching the Supreme Court since May of 1954. That's, I guess, 68 years ago. That was the month in which the Supreme Court came down with its unanimous decision in Brown versus Board of Education, ordering the desegregation of public schools all over the country. That was the first Supreme Court decision I ever read, and I've been reading Supreme Court decisions ever since. I must have read over 1,000 Supreme Court decisions, probably more, because I've taught many of them. Of course, I've litigated cases myself in the Supreme Court. You know, they give you a quill when you're in the Supreme Court to remind you that this is an ancient institution. And it's an ancient institution, of course, goes back to the Constitution itself, which has always had a tradition of secrecy. I was a law clerk on the Supreme Court for a year, a law clerk on the Court of Appeals the year before, and the one sacred oath we took is nothing gets out of the chambers of the justice or the judge, not only during the time you're serving, but even years later. I mean, it's been now, I don't know what, 55 years since I was a law clerk on the Supreme Court, and I still keep secrets about who originally voted for what. I was there during a very exciting year. I was there during the year that John Kennedy was assassinated, but I was also there during the year when the Supreme Court came down with many of its most important decisions, really of the 20th century, civil rights, civil liberties, criminal justice, you name it. That was a year of many, many important decisions. New York Times versus Sullivan. And I wrote or participated in the writing and drafting of many, many of those decisions. But never in the 68 years I've been observing the Supreme Court has there been a leak of a draft opinion before it was issued by the Supreme Court. And I think I know who might have done it and why. And I'm going to tell you that, but before we do that, let's get to my sponsor, my great sponsor. Do you own a small business and need help in growing it? Then AnthemSoftware.com is your one-stop solution. Anthem Software helps small businesses all over America find, serve, and keep more customers profitably by providing world-class CRM software and result-focused marketing services. Your business will not only grow, but dominate in this highly competitive modern world. That's AnthemSoftware.com. Every business has a song. We're going to have to come up with a song for this, and maybe I'll, in future years, sing part of the commercial. But right now, I'm just gonna say it. So let AnthemSoftware.com help you sing your song. Visit AnthemSoftware.com to schedule your free demo of this amazing solution. So now let's turn to the great mystery. Who leaked Justice Alito's draft decision reversing Roe versus Wade? We know it was authentic. When it first came out, I was on Hannity last night. We weren't sure. I said, in my opinion, it is authentic. I know Justice Alito. I know his opinions. It sounds like it was written by Justice Alito. There was some skepticism, but this morning the Supreme Court confirmed that this was an authentic draft opinion written by Justice Alito for 5 justices of the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice quickly added, it's only a draft, and maybe there'll be some justices who will switch. I don't think so. I think John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who I like very much, knew as a student at Harvard Law School and have since interacted with him on a number of occasions, I think he's very upset at the breach of security in the Supreme Court. And I think he's still trying to get at least one other justice. And I think Kavanaugh is probably the one, if there's any, that he could switch. Maybe Barrett. But to try to get them just to decide the case before them. The case before them doesn't raise whether or not Roe versus Wade should be overruled. It simply raises whether or not the Mississippi statute, which limits abortion to the first 15 weeks, is constitutional. So if Roberts can get Kavanaugh to go with him, you'd get 5 justices, 3 saying, no, we don't overrule Roe versus Wade and two, saying we don't reach that issue because we're going to join the majority in striking down the Mississippi, in upholding rather the Mississippi statute. So there may still be some negotiations going on. One of the big questions is how this leak impacts the negotiations. Does it make people stick more to their draft opinion on the theory we're not going to let the leaker make any changes, or does it really loosen them up a little bit and say, gee, you know, Congress could pass a statute, maybe expanding the Supreme Court court packing, or maybe imposing a national right to choose based on the Commerce Clause. Maybe we ought to do what they did in the 1930s. It was called the switch in time that saved nine. Roosevelt wanted to pack the court to save the New Deal. And when he threatened to pack the court, the Supreme Court justices, some of them changed their votes, and they went along and upheld the New Deal. So there may be a thesis by somebody on the court who leaked this that maybe that could be done. I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be any change. But, you know, it may turn out that this is not the majority opinion. This is only a one of three or four or five opinions, and Roe versus Wade may survive, at least for the moment, probably not survive forever, because I suspect there are five justices ultimately who will strike down Roe versus Wade. Of course, it depends on who the next vacancies are after Steve Breyer. Steve, who's my old friend, law school classmate, we clerked for the same justice, is leaving at the end of this term, but he'll be replaced, obviously, we know, by Judge Jackson, who is equally liberal, moderate liberal, so that won't be a change in attitudes or votes in most cases on the Supreme Court. No two justices ever always vote the same. Cases are different. We only really discuss the high-profile cases, but, you know, the court decides many cases that just affect two parties or just businesses or a small number of people. Roe versus Wade is unusual, and gun laws cases are unusual. So who do I think leaked this? Well, let me start out with who didn't. It's not a justice for a lot of reasons. Number one, I don't think any justice of the Supreme Court would know how to reach Politico. Politico is a young person's social platform, mostly slightly left-tilted. And if a justice wanted to leak this, they would leak it to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. They wouldn't leak it to Politico. My suspicion is that the leak came from a young person who has a friend at Politico and who he or she trusts to not reveal the source of the leak. Now, the person who leaked it also could have laundered it through somebody else. We know that Comey did it. When he leaked some material, he laundered it through some law professor somewhere. So it's conceivable that there's more than one source of the leak or one chain in the leak process. Of course, the more people know about it, the more likely it is that we'll find out about it. The best way to secure secrecy is to have fewer people involved. And so if a law clerk who has a friend at Politico actually, you know, called a friend and met in the basement in a car park, remember, all the president's men, that's where documents seem to be transmitted. So no phone records, no email records, just a meeting, you know, in the basement or a meeting somewhere on the street, and psst, here's the opinion, yeah. And it gets published by Politico. That's possible. Now, if the person is caught, that's the end of their career as a lawyer. They'll never be able to practice law. They'll be disbarred. If they're not members of the bar, they won't be admitted to the bar. No law firm would hire them. No client will take them on. Because if you've shown that you can't keep confidences, then, you know, you're like a priest or a rabbi or a minister who breaks confidences, or a journalist who breaks confidences, or a lawyer who breaks confidences. So when you're sworn to secrecy, as justices of the Supreme Court swear to secrecy, their law clerks, it's a major violation to breach that promise of secrecy. So My view is it was a law clerk. I think it was a law clerk who was very, very upset at the prospect of Roe versus Wade being overruled. And I can tell you, people are just furious and livid and frightened and scared. And so this law clerk, under my theory, and it's just a theory, I have no evidence to support it, this law clerk decided to engage in an act of civil disobedience. Desperate times required desperate means, and decided to leak this, knowing that if they were caught, their career would be in not only great danger, but essentially over. Though they might be a hero to some, but not to the establishment, not to the judiciary. So they'd have to have a very strong motive, and that, I think, is the motive. And I think the theory was that if nothing happens, if it's not leaked, this 5-4 decision will come down as Alito wrote it. Maybe if it's leaked, something will happen. Congress will pass a statute packing the court. Not enough time for that, and I don't think they have enough votes for that. Congress will pass a statute making the right to choose a national legislative right. Don't think they have the votes to that, or the votes at this point to overcome the filibuster. So I don't know what the exact expectation was by the person who leaked it, but they clearly expected to benefit from it. Now, you can have an alternative theory that says, no, it was a law clerk who was in favor of overruling Roe versus Wade, leaked it in order to lock in the justices to make sure that they don't change their views. You know, you can speculate about anything. I'll tell you the reason I don't believe that. I think that the fervent, the essential anger at the Supreme Court overruling Roe versus Wade among law clerks is probably greater on that side than on the other side. After all, there's no way the right to choice people are going to win this case. They're going to lose it. The only question is how they lose it. I predicted that a long, long time ago. Either they'll lose it by having the entire decision of Roe versus Wade overruled, which looks likely now, or they would lose it by having the Mississippi statute upheld, thereby restricting abortion to 15 weeks. And, you know, there are many young girls, particularly uneducated ones, who may not know they're pregnant in 15 weeks. Now, let's remember, too, that since Roe versus Wade was decided a half century ago, there have been developed now abortion pills, which aren't as effective as physical medical abortions, but they're pretty darn effective. And if they're made available, again, that will help people who are aware of the medical technology. And the question remains whether or not, if the Roe versus Wade is overruled, states will allow clinics to hand out pills rather than perform actual abortions. The American public is very much in favor of a woman being able to terminate her pregnancy at some point. There's a dispute about when. The vast majority of Americans don't want it up until the time of birth, but they do want it at least early in the pregnancy. Which leads me to my next point, and that is this: if this was an attempt by Republicans to help their political cause, it will very likely backfire. I think that sending abortion rights back to the states will help the Democrats, because the polls show the vast majority of Americans don't want to see abortion completely eliminated, and they'll vote for people who won't eliminate it. Right now, there's a safety net in the sense that if the Supreme Court is going to uphold the right of abortion anyway, you might as well vote to ban it. That gives you some kind of virtue announcement, but it doesn't have a big impact. But I think there are going to be a lot of American voters, particularly moderate Republicans and centrists and independents and libertarians, who will say, let's forget about the theoretical constitutional issues. Do I want my daughter, my granddaughter, my niece having to go to a back alley abortionist? No, they don't want that. And there is some data suggesting that in South America, where abortion is illegal in many parts of South America, there still are some back alley abortion deaths and serious injuries. So, you know, it may backfire in the end. how is this going to play out? Again, let me be very clear. I never make predictions based on my own value judgments. The reason that Larry Tribe is always wrong and Jeffrey Toobin is always wrong is because their predictions are always based on what they want or don't want or they're afraid of. But they allow their analysis to be influenced by personal views. I do not allow my analysis. I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor who reads the MRI. Yes, I want the patient not to be sick, but I'm going to tell the patient she's sick if I read the MRI. That's the way I analyze cases. That's the way I analyze political issues. I do not let my personal views influence my analysis. So look, I support Roe versus Wade. I didn't support it when it was first written, but in 50 years, I support it. I don't want it to be overruled. I think in today's world, a woman should have a right to choose abortion. That's my personal view, but I predict the Supreme Court will go the other way. And I also predict the Congress will not, certainly not in the near future, enact a national right to abortion law. Maybe it will eventually, but not right now. And remember also, we have a couple of years left in the Democratic administration, at least, so who knows? You know, God determines who's going to be on the Supreme Court as much as presidents, because the health of the justices determines who gets replaced and who continues to sit. There are a lot of young conservative justices, so they'll probably maintain a majority for a period of time. But you know, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. So I think we're going to see Roe versus Wade overruled. I think we're going to see it's have an impact on elections. And now let's move to the issue of the kid, 23, 24, 25, maybe a former student of mine, I don't know, who leaked this. What will happen to that person? Well, we know that the Chief Justice has already said he's commencing an investigation, but through the Marshal's Office. Marshal's Office doesn't have subpoena power. It may be that Congress will do an investigation. They do have subpoena power. Maybe the Justice Department will do an investigation. The former Attorney General of the United States said today that he thought the leaking could constitute an obstruction of justice. I don't agree with that, but that may be a view that would be accepted. And if so, a subpoena could be issued to the reporter from Politico, and the reporter would, of course, claim journalistic privilege. But the courts aren't going to be particularly sympathetic to a leaker of judicial opinion. So the court may rule against the journalist. Now, the journalist might still go to jail. Judith Miller, a courageous New York Times journalist, went to jail in the face of a court order saying she had to reveal her sources. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. Priests, rabbis, and ministers don't reveal sources. Lawyers don't reveal information that their clients tell them. Boy, you should know some of the secrets I have about people. But I can't tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I don't tell my wife or my children. You know, we're sworn to secrecy. What a client tells us is sacrosanct, and just like what a penitent tells a priest. So we may never know who did the leak. It may ultimately just be speculation. Rarely in American history are there real secrets. You know, who killed John Kennedy? Well, I think I know, but there are a lot of people out there who don't. Who won the last election? There are people out there who claim they know, and it's not Joe Biden. I don't agree with them, but there are lots of things that start out as secrets and then get publicized. Look, we're seeing now all kinds of efforts to try to get people prosecuted for revealing national security secrets. We'll see how successful that is. There have been some pardons, there have been some convictions, there are now some extraditions. So these are all issues that will remain viable. But somebody called in one of my shows that I was on and said, well, would you represent the leaker if the leaker were caught? Yeah, I would. I represent people I disagree with. I represent one of the young men who went into the Capitol. I disagree with going into the Capitol. I disagree with the protest. As you know, I think the election was won fairly and squarely by Joe Biden. I know many of you don't, but I do. And yet I represent the man who disagreed with me and went into the Capitol because I don't think he committed a crime. I don't agree with the leaker here, but I would represent the leaker if the leaker called me and said, look, I'm the leaker, don't disclose it, represent me. I would do it. Would I win? I don't know whether I'd win, but I'd provide the best possible, the most zealous defense I could for somebody I disagreed with fundamentally. That's the role of the criminal defense lawyer, just like the doctor in the emergency ward doesn't have to agree with the politics of the patient or any aspect of the patient's life. You administer your medicine fairly and objectively, and that's the way I handle my role as a criminal defense lawyer. Will the person get caught? I suspect the person will get caught. Now, you know, the real question is how many people know about this. If this was just two people, and by the way, editors, journalists, like the journalist in the in Politico, may not have told his or her editor, may not have told the publisher. That kind of thing is kept pretty close to the vest, and the law clerk, if it was a law clerk, and I think it was, who leaked the opinion, may not have told anybody else. Certainly didn't tell the justice that he or she works for. Look, it also could have been a printer in the part of the Supreme Court. You know, the Supreme Court's an institution. It's a building. It has its own printing plant. It has its own barbershop. The barber wouldn't know any of these secrets. Somebody said on one of my emails, maybe one of the law clerks told their spouse. No, you'd have to do more than that. It wasn't just telling somebody. It was turning over a 93-page opinion with 20-something pages of appendix. So it was a, you know, it was like Daniel Ellsberg in the Pentagon Papers or WikiLeaks or something else. It was much more substantial. It was a deliberate, willful decision to engage in civil disobedience, to break an oath that was made in order to achieve what they believe is a higher end. So let's see if we find out. Let's see what happens in the next 2 months. In the next 2 months, we will learn how the Supreme Court decides this case, unless it holds it over because of this. I don't think it will. I think it will decide it, and I think it will decide it in accordance with this opinion. But it's possible things could change. I hope they do. I support a woman's right to choose. I think it's a hard question, much harder than gay rights, much harder than gay marriage, much harder than many other issues. But in the end, I favor a woman's right to choose, particularly based on a decision that's 50 years old. So my own personal hope is that the Supreme Court doesn't overrule Roe versus Wade, but my analysis suggests that they might very well do that. So let's turn to some letters. Today there are real doozies. You remember yesterday's show was about the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov. Saying Hitler had Jewish blood, so, you know, Zelensky could be a Nazi, even though he has Jewish blood. Absurd, absurd, absurd. A blood libel, false. Lavrov has doubled down on it now. I don't know why he's doing this. I don't know whether Putin had anything to do with it or whether Putin approves of it. Putin has generally been pretty good, better than some, obviously better than Stalin, to the Jewish community in Moscow and St. Petersburg. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, it's a country at war and the enemy of your enemy, you know, all that stuff. So. As soon as you mention Hitler, it brings the creeps out from under the rocks. So let me just, this is important to know, that there are people out there who are intelligent enough to press a button and watch my show. They can actually do that. They can watch my show. Or even if they don't watch my show, they're intelligent enough to press a button to get on the comments section. But then listen to these comments and you won't believe who your neighbors are. They may not be your physical neighbors, but your neighbors in watching this show, or at least watching some of the comment sections. So, Hitler was a Jew. Here's one comment. So was Goebbels. So was Heydrich. So was Himmler. Eichmann, most if not all of Hitler's top people, were Jewish. Nazis are Jews. Let's not mince words here. And then it goes on with some, Jared Kushner and Heydrich look like twins. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. I mean, unbelievable. Next. Yes, but he did not mention that Stalin was a Jew who murdered his own. And Rothschild is a Jew that finances every war on both sides. I mean, I know some of the Rothschilds, and they're not financing any wars. And, of course, he gives the side he wants to win more money and then expects the loser to pay him back to. I mean, this is typical protocols of the elders of Zion, typical under-the-rock anti-Semitic stuff. And it gets generated anytime you deal with issues of the kind I dealt with yesterday. And here's another person. I won't even read the name. Because Yids and darkies, not my word, I'm just reading from what somebody else wrote. Because Yids and darkies are responsible for every single evil in the world, right? And no, this person says, the evil ones are the Zionists. They follow the Babylonian Talmud. Do you know how few Zionists even know what the Babylonian Talmud is? Herzl, who was the founder of political Zionism, never went to the synagogue, never opened up the Talmud, had no idea what the Babylonian Talmud was. Ben-Gurion was an atheist. They only claim to be Jewish. Hitler's grandfather was a Rothschild. Wow! Newsflash! Hitler's grandfather was a Rothschild, the follower of the Talmud Illuminati bloodlines. This is unbelievable. So somebody comments, who was the other grandfather? Hitler killed some of his own family to hide his Jewish family. Hitler's grandfather was a Bauer. Now we have names. We have names for Hitler's grandfather. Just unbelievable what people think. So enough of that. I don't usually like to read that, but when you get so many of them, I got probably 500 comments like that about how, you know, Jews run the world, Jews do this, Jews do that. It's amazing that 70 years after the Holocaust, well, these people don't agree the Holocaust ever occurred, but 70 years after the documented murder of 6 million Jews, you still get idiots, bigots, horrible people like this, either watching my show or watching the comments and writing this kind of racist, bigoted drivel. Okay, speaking of political drivel here, what is Dirsch know? He thinks men can become a woman. Yeah, men can become women. That's true. Men can become women. We know that. One of the great swimmers today was a man who became a woman. I know. I represented one of them. I represented a man, this must be 50 years ago, before the issue of transgender really came into the fore. But a librarian at Harvard, and I spent a lot of time in the library in those days writing my 1,000 articles that I've written. By the way, this is my 40th show, and I'm about to publish my 50th book, and I've already published my 1,000th article. But when I was in the library a lot, there was a librarian I liked very much. He was a nice guy. And suddenly he started wearing a dress and started to manifest female identity. And he was fired, or she was fired. And I represented him, and we won the case. So, this goes back a long time. But yes, medical science and other developments allow a person born as one gender to change genders and become another gender. And that's a fact. If you don't like it, then object to it. But it's a fact. You can't deny that. Yes, he thinks a man can become a woman. By the way, I think Judge Jackson answered that question perfectly. What is a woman? Depends. If you're asking what's a woman for purposes of competing in a swimming competition, Maybe it's a measure of testosterone. It could be other kinds of things. If you ask who's a woman for purposes of using a men's room and a bathroom, who's a woman for purposes of getting into a women's college or a man's only college, I don't know if there is any of those left, but there are women's colleges still. That's yet a different answer. If you want to know who's a woman for purposes of getting medical treatment, obviously the chromosomal makeup is what counts the most. But yes, who is a woman is a matter of context. Okay. Finally, we always get this question. None of Epstein's Johns were prosecuted despite Epstein's keeping detailed logs and videotapes and the FBI collecting all of those tons of evidence. I don't know if you know, but I have publicly announced that I waive any right of privacy in any Epstein tapes or any Epstein books or anything else. In fact, I waive my right to privacy for anything because I have nothing to hide. I hope that there are videotapes of everybody who ever had sex in any of Epstein's houses, airplanes, islands, etc. That's my fondest hope. And again, I hereby waive any rights because I was never, ever in a situation where I could have or did engage in any illegal, unlawful, unethical, immoral conduct. It's just a complete crock. And I'm prepared to prove it. And as I said before, $10,000 rewards to your charity of choice. It could be a Nazi charity. I don't care if you can prove any of those facts. You can't because they're not true, and you can't prove facts that aren't true. So we'll come back tomorrow, and we'll talk more probably about the Supreme Court because there'll be developments. You never know. When you finish one episode of The Dirt Show, you never know what's going to be on the other episode because yesterday, who would have imagined that there'd be a Supreme Court leak of such an important opinion. So, see you tomorrow.